I love the presence of God. I'll tell you something. In His presence is fullness of joy. And tonight I expect God to quicken things to you. Come on. And some of you need your bodies quickened tonight. And the Holy Spirit can quicken your mortal bodies. And many of you here, you know, I don't really care if you hear my voice tonight. I just care that you hear the voice of God. Because what I've learned is, many times God will push a button and you'll check out of the service, but you checked into God. In other words, all of a sudden you're chasing something in your mind because God opened up a realm to you. Come on now. And that's what it's all about. It's all about just letting God push your button. Come on now. Because we got lots of buttons that need to be pushed. I mean, the world right now, their buttons being pushed the wrong way. Come on now. But our buttons need to be pushed the right way. And don't ever worry about turning an unbeliever off. They already are off. Come on now. Our job is to turn them on. Come on now. You know, I mean, too many times, well, oh, I may turn them off. Guess you trust me. They're already off. Well, if you've got your Bibles, I don't know where we'll go. We'll go somewhere. Why don't you go to Psalm 42? I want to start there. You know, I'm going to talk about kingdom authority tonight because everything starts and ends with the authority of God. Like I see, you know, we mentioned last night that the devil didn't lose his power on Calvary. It's never been a question of power. God's always more powerful than the devil. Always. In fact, when the devil rebelled in heaven, we saw that Satan was cast out like lightning. It wasn't a fight. It was like the moment he rebelled, he was expelled. Come on now. Come on now. But the thing is, it's never been a question of power. It's been a question of authority. And the devil was stripped of his authority on Calvary. And until you understand that, the biggest thing we're going to find out the devil's trying to do with the church is to keep us from understanding the transference of authority that Jesus did. So we still think he's in charge, and he's not. Come on now. It's the biggest lie that's ever been perpetrated. Come on. But Psalm 42, verse 7, one of my favorite scriptures says, deep calls to deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. See, how many of you understand the fact that you yearn for more does not mean that you're ungrateful for what you have or that you're greedy. It means you have a higher calling. And literally, the yearning inside you calls you. Come on now. If we want more, there's more to be had. And God wants to release us, like I said, like, you know, in Malachi 4, I believe this is a year of release. And we're going to be like calves released from the stall. Come on now. And we're going to come out on fire, and we're going to tread down the wicked, which means we're going to come out in the authority of the believer, and we literally are going to tread upon wicked spirits. Come on now. And it's going to be like ashes underneath our feet. See, I believe that the authority of the believer is the key for the kingdom being manifested. Come on now. I believe that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to have some fun tonight. At least I will. The devil's not going to have any fun tonight at all. None at all. Come on now. In fact, if honestly he does not like this message, you know, and trust me, there are a lot of churches he goes to, and they don't mind their messages. Because when we all get to heaven, he said, well, at least I can make it hell on earth. You know? But Matthew 16:13 says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Understand, all revelation comes from heaven to earth. Come on now. All authority starts in heaven. Come on now. It's, you know, God is the ultimate authority, and if we're not submitted to him, we have no authority. Come on now. And he said, "I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, the called out ones, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Come on. But Jesus said, "Upon this rock," the rock of revelation knowledge, "I'll build the ecclesia." And see, many times what we hasn't been taught enough is that when Jesus mentioned the word ecclesia, the Romans knew what he was talking about. Because the ecclesia was the parliament or the ruling body of the day. That was called the ecclesia. Come on now. So what Jesus was saying is, "I'm bringing a new government in." Come on now. "I'm bringing the government of heaven. I'm restoring the kingdom of God." Come on now. That's what he was saying. And he says, you know, in the spirit, whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loose. He said, "I'm actually putting you in charge under me. We are the branch office of heaven on earth." Come on. And until we recognize that, we're going to be playing a little church game in a corner, and it's not going to work. Come on. Does this make sense? He's setting a new government. And upon, you know, Jesus, you know, he said that there's no end to the increase of his government. And too many times we don't understand that God really does want to influence the church, the world through the church. He actually wants to take back what is his through us. Come on now. See, he said, "I'm setting a new authority in the spirit realm." In Matthew 28:18, he says, "All authority has been given unto me, therefore you go." And we know that literally what he was saying is, honestly, "I have all authority and I'm delegating it to you." Which means if we have all authority, the enemy has no authority. Come on now. You have to understand, if we have all authority, the devil has no authority. And if he has no authority, he has no right. He has no right to put sickness and disease on you. He has no right to torment you. He has no right to... But the thing is, until we know he has no right, we open the door. Because what, you know, it goes on to say in Matthew 16, whatever you permit... Even though if the enemy has no right, if you open the door and he puts a thought in, you say, "Well, yeah." The moment you do, you gave him place. You gave place. When it says give no place to the devil, it means, honestly, he has no place unless you give it to him. Why? Because he has no authority to be there. So wherever the devil has a place, you gave it to him, which means you also can evict him. Yes. Come on now. That's the good news. The good news is you got all authority. The good news is, honestly, we can go into all the world using that authority, and we can disciple nations. We can change cultures. Come on now. We can see a mighty move of God. We can literally begin to see and use our, the whole earth is in travail until we wake up to our authority. To the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because the kingdom cannot be manifest until we wake up to who we are. And as long as we're trying to put off to heaven what God wants us to do on earth, come on. What did Jesus say? He said, number one, "I pray you don't take them out of the world." Most of us, you know, so much escapism in the church. Everyone's praying to leave. Jesus is praying you stay. He said, now I pray you protect them from the evil one. He pray that many would believe through their words. Come on. How many of you understand, literally, God is not into escape, he's into triumph. He said, well, you can escape after you win. After the enemy's made your footstool. Come on now. He said, after the enemy's totally underneath my feet and the feet of my church, I'll return. Come on. The marriage supper of the Lamb is not a consolation dinner. You did your best. I know you got whooped up on. You did your best. No, we're supposed to. I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any. See, we have got to begin to believe we have all authority that we can tread and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We need to begin to believe that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That every tongue that rises up against us in judgment shall be stopped. It's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. But the thing is, we read these things, but we haven't become one with them. When the reality goes off, you won't put up with anything. The moment you even suspect it might be the devil. Come on now. Not in my house, not on my watch. Come on now. Not on my watch. You know, you can't do that here. It's kind of like one of David's mighty men. I forget his name, but I love him. Because it said he had a lentil patch. A bean patch. And the enemy came in. And literally, I don't know how many men he killed to protect a bean patch. What he was basically saying, devil, you ain't going to have my beans. You are not going to have my beans. Come on now. Because if you get my beans, you're going to get my enchilada. And if you're going to get my enchilada, you're going to steal my taco. You ain't going to have my beans. Come on now. And some of you, you've been letting the devil steal your beans. Time to use your authority. Amen. Come on now. Some of you are going to get this. Some of you need to get so drunk in the Holy Ghost, you actually get to war, a warring attitude. Amen. See, God has given you jurisdiction. Basically, he's giving you jurisdiction over the world under his authority. Understand that. You're called to rule and to reign in this life. If we understood the original intent and the reason Jesus came back to, because the government had been kind of destroyed. Adam was left in charge. He was given dominion. He had all authority in the garden. Understand, he had authority over the creeps. Come on. But he watched his wife eat them out of house and home. I always say, if I get to heaven, I see Eve reaching for any food. I'm tackling her. Because I remember what happened last time that woman ate. But she was at least deceived. He wasn't. He knew he had authority. And the original sin of the original sin is the same the greatest is the greatest sin in the church today. We have all authority and we're not using it. We're watching the enemy take stuff. It's time to use our authority to get our schools back. It's time to get our communities back, to get our families back. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is time to use the authority God has given us. Because literally Jesus died, stripped the enemy of all authority, because basically the enemy got authority from Adam. Jesus had to come back as the last Adam. Come on. It's a perfect man. To get the authority back, get the keys back, and give the keys back to us. Give us the authority to restore the kingdom. And you can't have a kingdom without dominion. So that honestly, until the church understands dominion theology, it'll never operate in the kingdom. And the truth of the matter is, we're not supposed to fit in, we're supposed to take over. You study all the parables of the kingdom. Come on. The greatest influence in the world should be the church. We're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Come on now. The only reason this thing is preserved is we're here. Come on. There'll be a new heaven, new earth. When we go up to eat, the earth will be destroyed, and there'll be new heaven, new earth. Why? Because the church went to the marriage supper of the Lamb, so the wrath of God's going to fall. The only thing withholding is us. They should pay us to be here. And the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee. He will. It didn't say he might flee. He said he will flee. See, we have got to begin. We have glorified the little imp far enough. Come on now. We look at all these problems, and God said, but you're the answer. You got the answer. I gave you the kingdom. I gave you my life on the inside of you. Come on, I've given you my wisdom. I've given you revelation knowledge that comes from the Father that honestly, no one on natural minds can't even conceive it. They're not able to. The devil can't stop it because only the only area he can rule in is a natural realm. So if we try to fight him in the natural, we lose. But if we go in the realm of spirit, we got the victory. We're not trying to get a victory. We're enforcing the victory God Jesus gave us. Come on now. We're already victorious. Jesus came to restore the kingdom of God to earth. The church is the government headquarters of the kingdom of God on earth. So to exercise authority is to govern. And that's, how many of you understand you've been elected? Think about that. You're God's elect. The moment you got born again, you were elected to govern. Come on, to participate in the rule of God on earth. Think about that. In fact, to such a degree, God's given us, he basically said, I won't do anything on earth unless you tell me to, unless you permit me. Because I've given you authority on earth. Yes. Come on. So there are things he wants to do, but unless the people pray, he can't heal the land. That's why when pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it's essential. It's essential we pray. And it's essential that we actually command, and in that one saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is actually commanding God to do something. Come on. I've been in services at times, and God says, I don't want you to pray for the sick. I want you to proclaim healing. I want you to proclaim release. Come on now. He said, there are times he wants me to lay hands and pray. There are other times he wants me to decree a thing, and it'll become established. Come on. And when I recognized that, I was in a meeting watching Oral Roberts. And I expect them to lay hands and in the name of Jesus of Nazareth be healed. And I've watched them do that before. But that particular service, he's walking down the line saying, heal, 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 heal. I thought, God, is he commanding you? He said, yeah, I'm loving it. Because I want to heal, but I need someone on earth. Come on, to give me permission. Come on. You can get something tonight. Some of you won't get bold. You may get a little scary bold. Who cares? See, literally, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. We've mentioned this scripture, but I don't care. Because honestly, until we understand that the shift has gone into kingdom. Come on now. Until the church understands the kingdom of God, it's going to be floundering. Why? Because without that, the kingdom... That literally, it's the keys of the kingdom that control everything. Without a revelation of the kingdom, you don't use your keys. Isaiah 9:6 says, if for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. and there'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. There's no peace unless the government of God is ruling. Come on. There is no peace unless someone with the authority of God is using that authority for the peace to be there. That's why it says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Come on now. What does that mean? When, that sounds like a violent thing. It is. It's peace through violence. Spiritual violence. Say, no, devil. We're not permitting this. We're not putting up with you. We're not cohabitating with you. We're not going to put up with anything that robs us of joy, peace, righteousness. We're operating the kingdom of God. And we're going to make a, basically, anytime we don't see things line up with heaven, we're going to pray. We're going to begin to declare some stuff. Is this okay? See, if you don't exercise authority, the government of God can't function on the earth. We have the authority. We have the keys. Kingdom increase is tied to the authority of the believer. That's what it is. The reason when I see churches in a community and the culture not change, the church is not being the church. Because if the church was being the church, it would be shaping the culture. Come on now. It's just the way it is. See, you got to understand, God and the devil, opposing forces of good and evil, life and death, they're not equal, but they're opposing. Truth and deception seek to govern the earth with you. They're both trying to use you. Understand that. Why? Because both of them know you've been given authority. Both of them know that. God can't do it unless you give him permission, because he gave you authority. He set the rules. He won't violate his own word. And the enemy knows if he can deceive you, he can rule over you, even though he doesn't have the authority to do it. He'll keep you a slave as long as you don't understand the authority you have. Come on now. It's good stuff. Because of your positions, your words has authority. How many people understand the power of life and death is in your tongue? Why? Because you're the authority. See, a lot of times we'll teach on the power of words. The power of words is tied to the fact that you've been given authority. Because you are the ruling authority, that's how God set it up. Heavens belong to the Lord, Psalm 115:16, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. Because he has done it this way, your words have the power of life and death. Because you're kings. You're the king. He's the king of kings. So when you decree a thing, whether it's right or wrong, it can be established. Come on. We need to begin to understand who we are and what we have. See, if we don't pray, God's will can't be done. That's why I'm trying to always get people praying. Pray about everything. Why? But don't pray unbelief. Just pray what the Word says. Come on now. And believe it. Come on. Pray believing what you pray will come to pass. Come on. If you got God's Word on it, it's His will. You never have to ask whether it's God's will for you to be healed. Because Jesus, what does it say? He's the Lord your healer. So people say, well, God made somebody, he can't make anybody sick. He's the healer. That's who he is. Come on now. Just like he's the provider. You never have to ask where it's God's will for you to be provided for. He is the Lord your provider. If you study the name, it's not just what he does, it's who he is. Come on now. So, he's the Lord our victory. He always causes us to triumph. Come on now. See, there's no passivity in the kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven, suffer violence. Matthew 11:12. And the violent take it by force. If I hear anything that God's been saying, he said, we got to get the passivity out of the believer. Passivity is basically laying down authority. That's what passivity is. And what you don't hate, you tolerate. If you don't hate sickness, you tolerate sickness. If you don't hate poverty, you tolerate poverty. If you don't hate prejudice, you tolerate prejudice. What you don't hate, you tolerate. And you can't love properly unless you hate properly. See, if I love someone and they have cancer, I hate the cancer. Why? Because it's attacking something I love. See, the reason why God hates sin is not because he doesn't want you to have any fun. It's because it destroys you. It destroys something he loves. Come on now. Does this make sense? And God literally wants to put that aggression back in the church. A Holy Ghost aggression. We're not waiting anymore. We're no longer on the defensive. We might as well get on the offensive. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. I remember when I took over my youth group, I caused a stir in our community because it was a very proper community, and it was in the 70s, which is not as radical as it is now. You know? And I remember my youth group's name was basic, Brothers and Sisters in Christ. And I made up T-shirts because all youth group have T-shirts. It's in the manual. So I had basic on the front. In fact, my church, I put my kids through basic training, soldiers in the Lord. But on the back, I had the mission statement, and it was getting the hell out of Tulsa. You don't know how many people called the church office complaining. I can't believe any church would say, use that word, getting the hell out. And if I answer the phone, I say, I can't believe any church is not trying to get the hell out of something. If it's not trying to get the hell out of it, it's not the church. It's not the church, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the church's job is anywhere there's hell, get it out. Get it out. Come on now. Amen. Amen. You know, our job is to love the hell out of people. You know, and that's the bottom line. I'm not using profanity. That's the reality. Everything the devil does is a type of hell. You know, there are a lot of people right now, you know, they're not worried about going to hell. They're living in it. You know, they want to get out of the hell they're in today. Come on. And Jesus is the only way out. Come on. You know, I mean, hell is real. We know that. I mean, you know, some churches don't preach anymore, but it is. There is a real place. Come on. But it's not destined for people. Never was. God desires none should perish. Come on now. It's for disobedient spirits. But you were created with a nature to rule. It's in your DNA. See, you understand dominion is in your DNA. The first thing he did is in Genesis 1:26, he made man in his own image and he gave him dominion over everything on the earth. The creeping things, the creeps. He literally gave you dominion to rule, not over people, but over things. You know, and he said, hey, I'm giving this to you. And he said, I'm going to let you keep the garden, be a watchman over it. It's your job to keep it safe. It's your job. I've given you the dominion. I've given you everything you need. See, honestly, the church has everything it needs to change the world. Everything it needs. Come on now. We already have revival on the inside of us. We have everything we need to see a move of God. Everything. Come on. We have the kingdom on the inside of us. It's just trying to get on the outside. See, ruling, governing. You know what God said? Subdue the earth. What is he saying? I've given you this area, now I want you to increase it. Come on now. You know, God gave Adam, he didn't give him the whole area wasn't all developed. There were challenges. He said, now subdue it. Take new territory. That's what kingdom mentality is. Okay, we're possessing this. Now let's increase. Let's increase. Let's increase our influence. Let's see more people saved. Let's see another group we can reach. Come on now. Let's reach out. Let's take back what the devil's stolen. Come on now. See, because of the gift of righteousness and the grace of God, we reign in this life. You were made to reign. You were made to conquer. And how many of you understand that many times when we, you know, the church has not been training in reigning? You know, too many churches have taught people how to cope instead of how to conquer. You know, how to basically wait until they get to heaven. But that's not what we do. That's not what we do. That's not God's will. It's God's will. It's God's will you reign in this life. When the righteous rule, the city rejoices. The influence has got to be increased. Literally, God is pouring out a revelation of kingdom dominion. We are kings. We are priests. We've been made to conquer. You've been literally offered the great privilege of helping answer the who's in charge question. Because honestly, God's been blamed and he hasn't been in charge. Because he gave it to us. So when we see a mess, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, God said, I'll hear from heaven, heal the land. If my people will do what they're supposed to do, I will heal the land. I will bring the blessing upon the land just because my people are doing what they're called to do. Come on now. Do you hear that? So don't get upset about the sin of the world. Just look at the sin of the church. Come on. You're joint heirs with Christ. Or join hairs, whatever. Come on now. Amen. See, literally, God wants you to rule with him. The whole earth is waiting for that. Now, let's go to Psalm 115 again. I'm going to have some fun tonight. I hope you do. Because honestly, I believe, if anything, God is charging us to begin to look at things and say, no, devil, no more. No more. You can't have my kids. You can't have my grandkids. You can't have my school. You can't have my government. Come on now. I believe God's trying to get back into everything. I honestly believe right now there is a move, a counter move. Come on now. That literally God's saying, I want you to take back the culture. Because there was a time where this nation was under God. There was a time where most of growing up, and you know, it means I'm old, but you can watch the TV shows and the right morals were being reinforced. Father Knows Best and some of those shows, you'd look at them and things were being reinforced. Now everything's against God. Trust me, the ways of God, the things of God. If you don't understand what's going on in this nation, it's God versus the devil, and it's in prime time right now. That's all it is. There's a group of people trying to bring God back in, and there's the establishment that kicked them out to begin with and don't want them back in anything. Come on. You know, it's not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. If you're not part of the system, they don't want you. And God's bringing outsiders in. Come on now. He's bringing righteous people in. He's bringing prophetic voices that don't care. They set their face like flint. You know? They take the heat and they don't even back off. See, when you're not part of the system really can't threaten you. It only threatens people that want to be part of the system. Come on. See, there's a new system. It's called the kingdom of God. Come on now. We're going to have to learn how to operate in it. We're going to have to learn. Psalm 115, verse 14. It says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth is given to the sons of men. You know what God's basically saying is your increase, basically I gave you the earth. And literally you're understanding that this now is our responsibility. That's where our increase is. We're responsible for the land. We're responsible for the people. The heathen are our inheritance. Think about that. God said, I want to give you heathen. How many of you used to be heathen? I was. I mean, I was a big heathen. I mean, I was a double heathen. You know? But God had somebody claim me. Come on. Who are you claiming? Come on. Do we really care? God does. He wants us to reclaim. He wants us to claim people that nobody wants, but he does. Come on. See, God's plan is for you to partner with him on earth, to broaden his realm of influence or authority. Jesus, the sovereign king over earth, was to rule. And he wants us to rule institutions, cultures, societies, governments, and he wants to do it through you. Come on. He wants his rule to come through his people when the righteous are in charge. Come on. I believe that he's given us the favor of God. I believe God doesn't do anything unless, you know, how many of you understand he's always trying to influence us? He's looking for someone to cooperate. I remember several years ago, we were watching a TV show, and my wife, you know, it was The Facts of Life. I mentioned this before. And she liked that TV show. It was about four snooty girls. Actually, four girls. Only one was snooty. In a boarding school, and I didn't know much about it. You know, I just sat next to her, so I liked being on the couch with her while she watched this thing. But one day, we're watching the show, and she begins to intercede. See, what happened was there was a download from heaven. And she began to point at the screen, and she began to prophesy. And I'm thinking, this is a comedy. Chill out. Come on. And she's pointing at this girl named Blair, which was Lisa Welchel. And she began to say, she said, God, I pray you take the blinders off her eyes. Lord, I pray that... Lord, that she receives you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray, God, you show me she's going to marry a pastor and that she's going to be in ministry. She went back and she wrote down her little prayer journal. And it became an assignment to her because God showed her something. 10 years later, I'm preaching on a 4,000-seat tent. Every night there's a different celebrity giving their testimony. Now, mine was Billy Graham because I'm so good, Billy Graham does my intro. But it was a superstar Billy Graham from the WWF. But who cares? It was still Billy Graham. He was Reverend Billy Graham. But the next night was Lisa Welchel. So I flew Pam in. Joey was just born, so I know it's back in 93. And I flew Pam in with, you know, and she had the baby. But I said, you've got to be here. You prayed for her. I didn't even know she was saved. So we're on the elevator because I'm, you know, I get a chance to meet with everybody because I'm one of the team that's leading it. And I said, Lisa, this is my wife, Pam, and she's been praying for you. And she'd said, well, when did you start praying? And Pam said, I looked at my prayer journal, and he mentioned the day. She starts crying. I mean, and her husband's with her, but she's just crying uncontrollably. She said, that's the day I received Christ. So what else did you pray? I said, pray that you marry a pastor. Well, her son, or her husband at the time, unfortunately they're divorced now, but at least at the time, was the associate pastor for Jack Hayford. You know? She also prayed that she go into full-time ministry, and she was in full-time ministry for a while. But see, I think everything happens because someone prays. I believe it's the kingdom authority thing. God shows you. He turns a light on and says, this is your assignment. Pray for so-and-so. Command my will to be done. Come on now. Command blinders off. And I remember my wife didn't have just pray that she'd be saved. She commanded blinders off. It was almost like a kingly prayer. God removed the blinders so that she can see. Come on now. How many of you understand? I mean, I've been there before. We were watching Diane Cannon, I don't know what my wife is with Hollywood people. But she was on some type of talk show, and all of a sudden she began to get that little groaning thing she gets, and I knew something was up. And she said, Lord, use her to change Hollywood. She said, God, you're showing me that you're going to use her to influence a lot of people in Hollywood. She wrote down, she goes back to her prayer journal, writes it down, and it's another thing. It's amazing how God orders my steps to find out how my wife's prayers are answered. Because I was preaching with Tim Story, you know, and Tim Story started a Bible study in Hollywood. And they literally saw about 7,000 Hollywood people get born again. And it started in Diane Cannon's house. So she's the one that he was preaching in church. She was at the meeting, and she approached him and said, I think I'm supposed to have a meeting in my house and interviews, and begin to have some of the stars come and have you talk to them. Well, I believe my wife's prayer opened all those doors. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you're not the one doing it, but you're the one making it happen. Come on. You are cooperating from heaven to earth. Come on now. You're part of the heaven chain. Come on. And you got to see yourself as part of the heaven chain. Come on now. You're cooperating so the kingdom can advance. Does this make sense? This is so exciting. I don't know about you. It is. See, literally, honestly, you know, power is the strength or force needed to rule. But authority is the right to do so. So they are governmental twins in God. Authority without the power to enforce it is meaningless. Power exercised without the proper authority is usurpation. It's basically rebellion. See, Satan, you got to understand something. When God and Satan are concerned, the issue has never been power. It's always been a question of authority. When Satan pulled a coup, we know that he was cast out. We know on Calvary, Jesus stripped the enemy of all his authority. And he gave it back to us. And he gave you the keys. And he said, whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. And how many people understand? You got the power over anything God shows you. If it comes from the Father, a revelation from the Father. The gates of hell can't prevail against that revelation. I went to a meeting several years ago, and it was Teacher Norval Hayes. And I gave my notebook out. I was so excited because I heard so many great things about Norval. And I expected, and I'm someone who loves to take notes. In fact, if I don't have a notebook full of notes at the end of a message, I didn't like the message much. Because I usually write down everything that's important. Come on now. So if it's blank, nothing was important to me that night. So I was really excited until I listened. He used one scripture, one. You shall live and not die. That was the scripture. How to live and not die. And I'm thinking, then he tells story after story after story. And I'm here, give me some word. Give me some word. Come on, give me some. What is wrong, teacher? I had to have an attitude adjustment. I remember I asked my wife, I said, what do you think? She said, I don't know. She knew I was upset. She probably didn't want to say it. She liked it. And I know Norval now. He's still alive. He's still kicking. A great man of God, but we got home that night. How many people understand one word from heaven can change your life? So we get home that night, and on the answering machine, there is a message to my wife saying, if you want to see your grandma alive, You better rush to the hospital. She's had a major heart attack, and she's not expected to live. Now, what message did we just hear? You shall live and not die. See, God was setting something up. Come on now. That was the one word we needed to hear over and over and over again. But we go into the ICU ward. I'll never forget that because all the family's there. They're calling in relatives from out of town. You know, the vultures were there. Be honest, most of them wanted her to die. They wanted their inheritance. And my wife walks in with me to the ICU room. She grabs hold of her grandma's hand and she said, "Grandma," because she still was awake. She said, "I want to know something. Do you want to live or do you want to die?" Because she said, "Grandma, I know you're saved. If you want to go home and be with Jesus, it's fine with me. I have no problem with that. But if you want to live, let me know." And she just kind of whispered, "I want to live." And Pam just began, I mean, she just took authority right there over the spirit of death and said, "Nope, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. I declare you shall live and until you're fully satisfied, you're not allowed to die." She walks out. Well, the doctor is consoling the family. And the doctor said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Pam said, "She's going to live. Why are you all so upset about it?" Everyone starts arguing. I mean, the whole group is arguing. "She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to live and not die. She's going to die." You know? So we left the hospital because it wasn't any use in being around that unbelief. And, you know, they're waiting for her to die. Everyone flew in hoping she would die. And 10 days later, she left the hospital, and she lived another 12, 15 years. When she died, she was ready to go. But she shall live and not die. See, that's the authority. Come on now. So, you know, we will actually accept the wrong report unless we understand the authority. If we don't understand the authority of God, we will actually submit to the authority of man. And the authority of man is not always in line with the authority of God. Sometimes it is, then you can agree with it. But when, you know, whose report will you believe? Come on. If you believe the wrong report, you can die early. Come on. Does this make sense? You need to understand this. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. See, you can rise up in authority, the authority God's given you. Isn't it amazing that God says you can choose life? Or you can choose death. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now he tells you what his will is, choose life. But he said, you choose. That's authority. I honestly believe where we are, we've chosen to be. I'm sorry. Or we've given in. And think, well, this is it. And if you think it's it, according to your faith, so be it. Come on. I get around people all the time. They have decided they're old. They are old. They are old. I mean, I'm always young. I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I'm the youngest person my age I know. Come on now. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not even as young as my stepmom. They're still jumping out of airplanes. At 85 years old, you know? But I'm catching up to her. I'm going to get as young as she is. That's my goal. Come on now. You know? I don't want to stop living. You can choose. You can choose joy, or you can choose to be miserable. Come on now. That's a choice. Have you ever been around people that are miserable, and you look at their circumstances and say, why? But it's an internal problem. You know, joy is not external, it's internal. You know, if everything has to be perfect on the outside, you'll always be miserable on the inside. Come on now. In the world, you shall have tribulation. Hey, you can put that in the refrigerator. But you can also put the be of good cheer part on. Cheer up. Yeah, it's good. You know, not everything's going to be easy out there. But you can rejoice your way through it. You can rejoice evermore. That's a choice. You can choose to be happy. Come on. You can choose to put a smile on your face. You know, God gave you your face. You choose the expression. But if you smile, it increases face value. Come on now. See, you can choose to believe you always triumph in Christ. You can choose to believe God works all things together for your good. Even bad stuff, everything works for you, not against you. You can choose to let go of the past. Or you can choose to be a victim the rest of your life. You can choose to blame yourself for some stupidity thing you did years ago, or you can choose to forgive yourself because God's forgiven you. That's your choice. God's given you the authority. Come on now. You know, he said basically, I put a rudder in your mouth. That your tongue is a rudder. So don't ever speak where you don't want to end up. Come on now. Don't ever speak. If you don't want to go there, don't talk about it. Come on. Only talk about the destination where you want. Line up your tongue with your vision. Come on now. Am I helping someone? See, you can overcome sin in the world through faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Guess what? You begin to believe God, you can walk out of any chain. The chains have been broken. Sin has no dominion over you. But deception does if you embrace it. You believe a lie, you become a slave. Come on now. And you know, I'll be honest with you, lies are being perpetrated. If you watch the news, half of it's lies. You know, it's not even accurate. I mentioned it on Sunday morning. My son just laughs. He said, Daddy, there's less violent crime now than there was in the 60s. Statistically. You would never think that. You look on the news, you know what's happened? It's fed fear. Fear sells. You know, it makes it sound like everyone's mean. Everyone hates. No, no. And trust me, not everyone's a racist. The nation's better than it used to be. It's not as good as it needs to be. But it's better than it used to be. But if you believe what the news is saying, it causes division. You believe a lie, you divide. You believe the truth, you come together. If you believe honestly that God loves you, then you can love anybody else because you know if he loves you, it's only by grace. Come on now. If you've received what you don't deserve, you can give what other people don't deserve. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? It's all inheritance, but you choose. Does this make sense? See, when we don't believe Christ has all authority, we have trouble operating in faith. Faith is tied to authority. If we don't believe God has all power, we can't operate in faith. If we don't believe ultimately God's stronger than the devil, stronger than any circumstance, stronger than any disease, if we don't understand the authority that he's given, what happens is we begin out of deception to yield authority to someone who doesn't have it. That's called the devil. So we give him entrance because we don't believe in authority. Come on. Am I helping you yet? This good stuff. Some of you are going to have to, you know, I've learned that. See, you don't ever have to accept defeat again. And honestly, when God speaks something to you, that's the authority you need. His word circumvents the natural. If he says, come, you can walk on the water. Come on now. Now, don't try to do it every single day of your life. Peter didn't walk on the water all the time. And be honest, the only reason Jesus walked on the water is the disciples had the boat. That's why. He wasn't showing off. Hey, look what I can do. He needed to get to the other side. They had the boat, so he walked on the water. Come on now. It wasn't a show-off thing. Hey, you know, come on. You know, you have to understand some of this stuff. But honestly, you know, I remember years ago, I was dedicating a little league field. And there was a 100% chance of rain, and it was falling. But it was a brand new field. They had 5,000 people show up. Big deal. And my job was to give the prayer. And the coach on the other team, I went to high school with, you know. The reason they had me dedicated, because I played a little bit of professional baseball. So, you know, I was like a celebrity or whatever. And, you know, the coach on the other team says, "You know the man upstairs." Well, how many people understand when they say, "You know the man upstairs," they know the man downstairs. Because his name is not the man upstairs, you know. He said, "You know the man upstairs. Make it stop raining." And he's laughing. And I'm laughing. I think that's cute. And the Lord said, "Do it." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Make it stop raining." Now, you got to say something. I had never, ever prayed about weather. Definitely never took authority. Now, if you live in Oklahoma, you have to. Or you're going to be Auntie M. Come on now. So you have to, you know, Tornado Alley. So, you know. So, but I was in New York still, and I said, "God, what do you want me to do?" He said, "I want you to go into the middle of the field, stand on the pitching rubber, and point your hand at the clouds, command them to part." I said, "Lord, can't I do it from the dugout?" I didn't want to get wet, and I didn't want to look stupid. He said, "I want you to..." And I knew I had to. You know, how many of you understand when God gets on your case, he doesn't change his mind. And I said, "Lord, I don't want to be seen." And you know what he said? "If you're not seen, I can't be." See, God always, that's why he uses people, so he can be seen. Well, we don't want to be seen. Well, guess what? Then he's not seen. Come on. So I was, but since I knew it was God, even though I didn't know how it was going to work, never done it before. I walked out. I was a little nervous. I mean, people are staring. It's pouring down rain. I'm getting soaked anyway. I remember pointing at the clouds and saying, "Clouds, God told me to talk to you, and you better part, or I'm going to look awfully stupid." So I command you to part in Jesus' name. And I actually walked back with my head down. I didn't want to see. And by the time I got back to the dugout, I see these eyes. They're hugely open. And I realized, man, it's awfully bright outside. There was not it was totally dark and ugly when I pointed. I looked up, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And this kid said, "How did you do that?" I said, "God. It was God." They said, yeah, God. I mean, it made an impression. It made an impression on me. Why? Because God said. See, if God says, come on now. Now, there are certain things, don't try, because there are promises you can claim, but there are certain times. There are times I've actually had a storm hit Oklahoma, and God told me it was coming. Told me the greatest flood that ever would hit Oklahoma back in, I believe, 1981, it was in Tulsa. And he told me, I said, "Can I stop it?" He said, "No, but you can stop it from affecting any of the properties that you own in Tulsa." And our families have 5 houses. And all of Tulsa flooded, except for our 5 houses, literally. Literally. In fact, it was such an amazing, because we had two houses in a flood zone that didn't flood. And my neighbors looked at my driveway, never got wet. And their house on each side flooded. It was a sign, it was a wonder. But see, but God said, you can't stop it. There are times, there are storms you may have to go through, but you can stop them from destroying you. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have to hear the voice of God. It's, you know, he doesn't work the same way every time. If you think he does, you're going to live by formula instead of relationship. And you have to listen to the authority is in the relationship. Come on. Does that mean, see, I literally, when God told me to do that with the clouds, he gave me authority to do it. When I commanded him, it was a kingly prayer. It was like God himself saying, part! Come on. I'd like to do it again. I've done it with tornadoes a lot. I was going down St. Louis on I-44. I see this huge funnel coming my way. So I turned on the radio, and they said, if you're at such and such a place on the highway, pull over, get out of the car, and get flat in the ditch. I just bought a brand new suit. I liked my new suit. And it's funny, I pulled over. I was about ready to get in a ditch. I looked at that suit, and I said, no! I got so angry, I began yelling at that tornado that commanded it. I said, I command you to jump over the highway. Well, it did. It took out a city. I've got to be better with it. I got to be a little more specific, but my suit was saved. I'm still learning. Come on now. Still learning some of this stuff. You know, see, God's plan is his assignment. How many of you understand that? And God has plans for every one of you, and he's given you authority for your assignment. Come on. You know, God starts with the purpose, and the end result, and then he backs up. He has actually designed you perfect for your purpose. Come on. You know, most of you don't have a rocket scientist brain because you don't need one. My son has his brain because he needs it. You know, I don't understand a word he says, but I'm glad he says it. See, how many people understand God always, his plan is that he rules through people. Come on now. He rules through his church. See, you got to see this. You see him negotiating, God and man working together. He negotiated with a man so he would not judge a city. Think about that. He comes to Abraham and talks about him. Talks to him. He's a covenant man. Should I not tell my friend what I'm about ready to do? And he told him that because he wanted Abraham to stop him. And Abraham went, if there be 50, if there be 4. You know, I love what it says, because if you read the scriptures, he's saying, God forbid. God forbid you do this. God forbid. He said, I forbid you, God. God said, good, that's good. That's good, keep going. He said, if there be 10 righteous, and God said, oh, you missed it by this much. He came close. But God, see, God's always trying to get us to stop what's coming. Come on now. He shows us why, because he wants mercy to triumph over judgment. You see him waiting for a man to pray to send rain. He's waited for Elijah. He couldn't send the rain until Elijah prayed. The drought was on, and he wanted the drought to end, but he had to wait for Elijah to pray. I believe God's waiting on some things for us to pray, for us to exercise authority. Come on. Is this helping you? I want you to see this. You know, you see him telling a nation that they can determine whether they're blessed or cursed just by obedience. you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. But if you don't, cursed shall you be. You see him anguishing because he wants someone to stand in the gap and he couldn't find anyone. You see him asking a prophet to prophesy to a nation so he could restore them. Drops them in the valley of dry bones. And said, I need you to prophesy. Because if you don't prophesy, I can't do what I want to do. Come on. He's waiting for people to pray because he wants to heal the land. What I'm saying is so we are so involved in the kingdom authority thing that there are things we're holding back God from doing that he wants done. And tonight I want us to begin to get more sensitive. Look for things that you know God wants. If God asks you to do something, do it. If you see something and your heart goes out, pray. Many times that's an assignment from God. It's amazing to me because I am oblivious to so many needs. I really am. Because not every need is my responsibility. It's not. I'm sorry. But the needs I see. Something happened a few months ago, well, about 6 months ago. Minding my own business. And I have a friend. She's become a friend. I heard her story. And it ruined me. Just ruined me. Her and her sister were basically kidnapped and held in the sex trafficking thing from the time she was 5 until the time she was 23. She watched her sister die during one of the sexcapades things. I listened to her tell that story, and I was weeping like a little child. And I said, God, this is going to cost me. I know it. But we got to do something. I mean, all of a sudden, the reality. And, you know, I knew, okay, now, and I've opened some doors. I've actually introduced her to some Hollywood producers that want to produce her story to get and a certain politician that some people love, some people hate, gave a lot of money to try to stop sex trafficking. You know. But it's the heart of God. See, if the righteous don't stand up, evil prevails. Understand that, because God's not allowed. God's not allowed in unless we stand up. God's not allowed. We're the ones. Whatever you permit will be permitted. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. I'm starting to say, God, devil, I'm forbidding you. I'm forbidding you in these areas. Some of you, I'm going to be honest with you. Anytime God shows you something, it's to participate in the answer. The church is not here just so we can escape someday and not do anything down here. The only reason we're still here is the hurting people down there that need us. There are people that don't understand what we have. We actually can stop the devil from killing people until they're ready to receive Christ too. How many of you know that the reason you're alive today is someone prayed and prayed and prayed, and some of you have more lives than cats because you had a praying grandma or you had a praying mama, and the devil should have taken you out over and over and over, and you look at your life and you realize that you had angels on assignment even though you were living a sinful, sinful life, but somebody was covering you in prayer. Now that we're on the other side, it's our responsibility to cover those who do not know how to cover themselves. And don't get so angry at the people that are doing stupid things. Instead, have your heart go out to them. Say, Jesus, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, open their eyes that they can see. They're just wounded. God wants to heal their broken hearts. He wants every one of us to become rescuers. He's given us authority in our realm, not in every realm, but our realm. And I believe that's how the kingdom goes forward, is we all exercise government authority, the government of God, and we see things go. Is this okay tonight? I want to pray for people tonight. I want to pray for you to get a boldness to exercise authority. I am. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God to open up new territories, new territories, new territories. I'm going to believe God that we're going to begin to influence new groups of people. Come on now. I mean, for me, I'm standing in faith. Like I said, we're going to stop the sex trafficking thing. It's amazing. Now I have a network. I mean, I didn't even know it was going on much. I heard about it. I didn't even know. Now I have a network of people that are involved on the front lines. Come on. And I'm able to connect people with people. Why? Because God said, you got to. I've given you the keys of the kingdom, whatever. What, you know, you can open doors no one can shut, but you can shut doors no one can open. I'm going to shut the door on the devil on these things, and we're going to see those young girls, sometimes even young boys, rescued. Come on now. Rescued. They're not going to be victims of their lives. No, no, no. It's not God's will. It's not God's will. You know, just like my son says, Daddy, I don't want anyone to starve to death in third world nations. Said, I'm going to do my best to make sure that I provide housing and food for all the orphans. He said, even if it's just up to me, we're going to do it. You know, it's a cause. It's about time the church had a cause. If we don't have a cause, we have no effect. Come on. But tonight I want to pray for people that want to make a difference. That you want to use your authority. That you don't wake up and say, some of you, God's going to show you areas you've let some things in. Now, I'm not saying go home and yell at people. Just take authority over the spirits, please. Don't be stupid. Yeah. You know, and don't lay hands on, I'm going to cast the devil out of you! Well, you know, you can do that, but underneath your breath. Come on. You know, I don't want to cause more problems. I want to stop the problem. And probably you stop the one causing the problem, you stop the problem. But if you want prayer for that, I want to pray for you today. If you need a healing in your body, I'm going to take authority over that sickness and disease. It has no right to be in you. Come on now. See, you don't understand, a curse causeless does not alight. It has no right. Sometimes I put up with too much. I put up with way too much. You know, I've been battling this little shoulder thing. Now, it's just the more I'm preaching, the angrier I'm getting. I've been battling this shoulder thing. It's like, come on now. Amen. Come on. This Amen. Is, you know, I'm ready to give the devil a knockout punch. Come on. I want you to lift your hands up towards heaven. Start thanking him for all power, all authority. Thank him that literally... He's given you the keys of the kingdom. Thank him that you're a victor. Thank him you're not a victim. Thank him that you're part of the answer. Thank him that you're healed. Thank him that you're blessed. Thank him that anything you've received, you become an authorized dealer of. Thank him you're able to hear his voice so that you can exercise the authority that he basically commands you to exercise. Lord, I release this now in Jesus' name. This is a new season. Greater authority than ever before. Greater authority. The power is going to explode because the authority is going to be exercised. This area is going to come into submission to the will of God. There's going to be a faith lift and a facelift. Come on now. New things are going to be birthed. Come on now. New things are going to be birthed. A renewed faith. Oh, yeah, you got it right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. Right there. Some of you, you're catching your breakthrough. You're getting your fight back. Come on. The enemy's done everything he can do, but he couldn't take you out. Ho-ho! Now it's payback time. Now it's payback time. Ho! Devil didn't know who he was messing with. In the name of, there it is, take another dose. Some of us, we're about ready to get through a battle. We won't have to fight that one again. Come on now. We're about ready to take that giant's head off. Come on. Ho! We're going to see breakthrough, breakthrough. There's the power of God. My! Ho! We take authority right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're catching what's ours. We're taking by force what's ours. Ha! It's a breakthrough time. Woo-hoo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Oh, you're a difference maker now. God's been giving you new weapons. Weapons of righteousness for your right hand, your left hand. Oh, revelation knowledge is flowing. Ho, 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 ho.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is what we're talking about. Everything's changing for good. Things are going to line up with the word of God. Ho,
yes.
Oh, we're going to dance. We're going to shout. Yes. We're going to see the victory. Hey!
Yes.
Oh, it's yours now. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours.
Yes, Lord.
Oh. Some of you are going to rise up, and you're going to begin to take new territories. And you're going to see a breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. We're going to get a revelation that we're in charge. Under God, under God, under God. But we're in charge. Come on now. God is literally giving you the power, the authority, and the revelation of the kingdom. I hear the shout of the king in their midst. And I command everything to line up. Line up now with the word of God. Line up now. Oh, God's authoring. He's literally, there's a whole new chapter he's authoring. It's a faith chapter. And in it, you're going to see God turn things and say, man, yeah, that was what we were talking about. That's what we were talking about. It's almost like now missing pieces are coming together and things are becoming clear. And things you've known for years, other people are beginning to grasp. We release that anointing now in Jesus' name. This is a kingdom time. Ho, ho. We about ready to take some new turf. Ho, 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 ho. Woo! Yeah, I can see that. He showed it. It's yours. You prophesy to that. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Because you're going to see the full manifestation of the glory of God. The full manifestation. Sometimes we've seen a little, but we're about ready to see the full, the full, the full, the full, the full, the full. Something's exploding in you. You have stepped over into a whole different new realm. Oh. And you know it. You know it. It's almost like there's a new fire. You don't even have to stir. It's stirred. It's stirred. It's stirred. That little warrior spirit is jumping out. Ha, ha, ha. The Lion of Judah is roaring. You have boldness. Boldness. Supernatural. It's like, God, what is going on? He said, I am. You might as well get so excited, it's ridiculous. There's new territory. You're going to see doors open. You're going to see. You're going to see. You're going to see with your own eyes what you've been believing for.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to hold it. Yes. God's going to prove who's right in Jesus' name. We're going to see this. See, we have to fight for those who can't fight. Understand that. We got to fight for those who can't fight. You know? That's where he's on fight. It's so hard. It's their people that they cannot. They're victims. I got to rescue them and turn them into victors. See, you know, it's almost like the cave. God, you bring them into the cave. They come in wounded. They get made whole. They're made healthy. They come in and they can't function. But all of a sudden the anointing kicks in. Just the way it is. It's the answer. It's the answer. It's the heart cry. It's the heart cry of a rescuer. God made you a rescuer. You know? If there's a stray, you want it. It's just who you are. There's a gentleness that makes you great that way. Well, you know why? Because you know what it feels like to be hurt. And you want to bring the healing to her. And guess what? God's has healed you and is healing you as you're bringing healing to them. It's a kingdom thing. It's the most beautiful thing. And he's going to say, I'm going to give you new turf. And I'm going to have you become an influence and a voice in this realm. Favor, 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 because you got the heart of God. That's what it's all about. It's an assignment. It's the joy of your heart. It's also what breaks your heart. So it's an interesting combination. That's what the cross is. Cross is your greatest glory and your greatest pain. But your cross. And you know something? You love doing it. You're graced for it. This is a new day. You might as well get excited. You're catching what you need. It's on the inside of you. It's a breakthrough period. You know, it's like a whole different season. Everything's becoming new again. Everything's becoming fresh again. There's a new faith lift going on. It's God is beginning to breathe. He's beginning to take broken pieces and put them back together. I release that anointing right now in the name of Jesus. This is a whole different season. And we're coming into a point where God's going to restore the years the cankerworm is eating. We've been through the fire. We've been through the flood. We might as well get to that place of abundance. That's what I just sense. I just sense it's like, okay. All that you've been through, God can use it. He makes beauty for ashes. And the amazing thing is he uses the ashes to make the beauty. And I sense that. Because now your heart goes out because you've been there. And because of that, you have a platform in which to reach. And we just release that anointing now. And I speak strength in the name of Jesus. Strength and healing power flow in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to catch what we need. We're going to catch it and catch it and catch. Oh, no. You said I can't mess with you tonight. So, God, you mess with her. Woo! There it goes. Oh, that wasn't me. God, sit on her. We release that anointing now in Jesus. Oh. Yeah. You see, you can still birth. You can still birth. There's a birthing anointing. God's about ready to make this a birthing station again. Birthing station. We've been pregnant for years. Come on. The baby's still alive. You know, it's kind of been long coming, but it's about ready to be birthed out. So you might as well get ready. Get ready for the kingdom to manifest. Get ready for the anointing to manifest. Get ready for God to bring things together. Get ready for him to use you in ways that you've never been used before. There'll be times he'll ask you to do something. So, God, I've never done that before. He said, you have now. God, Father, may I? He said, if I wouldn't have told you to do it, if you didn't have permission. In fact, honestly, if you don't do it, it's disobedience. So just get ready. Get ready. We're launching out of things. I never, be honest with you, like I said, I didn't know about that particular ministry of the sex trafficking thing. I had no idea how prevalent it was. I wasn't planning on adding it to our plate, but God was. Now I'm just saying, God, just show me. If you show me, I'll do it. Whatever I see, I can do. I'm not going to make up needs. I'm not going to act like I feel something when I don't even. But when God touches that spot, God's going to touch that spot in this community. This community needs a facelift. And it needs people of faith. Come on. This community needs people of faith to begin to exercise faith for new opportunities, new things to be birthed here. Come on now. Because to be honest with you, because of the lack of progress, there are a bunch of talented people who are having to leave and go elsewhere. And if the church would exercise what needs to exercise, God would begin to turn that thing around, and this thing would begin to thrive again. You need to understand that's a kingdom thing. You know, God, when God's involved in stuff, everything begins to work. Come on now. You know, I mean, our city is prosperous, but we're a godly city. We weren't always a godly city, and we didn't prosper when we weren't. But now we're a godly city. And because God's in the midst of everything, new things are constantly getting birthed. I'm believing God everywhere we go. We're going to get that birthing anointing. Come on now. So thank you, Pastor.